Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place!
You know, I know I've asked him this. I know I've asked him this before, but
you're in this mood. Whenever you play "Revolution" by the Beatles, I know you're in that mood.
You start it, Mike. He's bored this morning. So for whatever reason, he's up relatively early and he's over screwing with Buck. And then he's getting bored screwing with Buck. And then he thinks, I wonder what Mac's doing. So he calls me once and hangs up on me. Then he calls me right back.
Where's the Michael?
And he says,
yeah. You have to wait till retired.
And he says, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. Why are you bothering me? Whoa. So that started. Have you ever fired yourself a flamethrower?
Yeah, I told you I did.
I know. Tell me again, because I have a bad memory. So what is that, man, so, what is that thing like?
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm first of all, where did you fire the flamethrower?
Front end palms.
And under what conditions?
It was right after 9/11 when we went in October, we went to Afghanistan of that same year. Like a month later, we were already in Afghanistan.
Right.
You know, and then those guys went to the caves. The Taliban guys we were fighting were in caves.
Right.
And we had no weapons to actually get them out of the caves. So we started looking at, like, we used like small rockets, HE dual purpose into the rock in the cave, but it didn't really penetrate into the cave to do a lot of damage to these guys. So then they went back to flamethrowers. So we didn't have any inventory. So we had all these guys come out throwing palms, and they had different things. We had flame rockets. We had flamethrowers. Hell, we had all sorts of different types of devices, incendiary devices. And then we did a demonstration out there. So we flew, helicopter picked us up to First Marine Division at the White House. We flew right into throwing palms, landed out there by Sunshine Peak, that training area.
Right.
And they had bored out makeshift caves in the side of the mountain to do this demonstration. So they put stuff in there, and then we would go up there. So they would demonstrate all these different types of new flamethrowers or new weapons to actually rid these rats out of these caves. And then we looked at everything, and then we flew back.
So did you get to fire the flamethrowers that they had out there? Did you personally fire them, or did you just watch?
Just watch.
Oh, man, I thought you, that's not like you. You're the gunner, man. You, like, get to get your hands on it.
It was hot out, man. I didn't really want to be out there the first time.
It was. You know what? And when you live, Mike lived in the nicest base housing, I think. Once the Presidio in San Francisco got shut down, Mike lived in the nicest base housing, I think, in the country. And so
it was right, yeah. So if you look at, actually, they did a study on this. The best base housing in all of the militaries was in the Presidio in San Francisco, as far as where it was located, the scenery, and everything else. The best base housing of all militaries was the Presidio.
Yeah.
Now it's the Navy.
Yeah, that's the name.
And the Army. The Army lived there, too.
Yeah, the Army lived there, too. Yeah, that was back in the day.
So when they closed the Presidio down, the next base housing that was the best base housing considered in all the armed forces was where I lived. Yeah. That was in San Clemente, the old Coast Guard Lorraine Station in San Clemente.
Right, just south of the Nixon.
My next-door neighbor on the other side of the wall was Richard Nixon's $54 million mansion with the mission and everything else. So the houses that were other side of the fence, the lowest priced house was Richard Nixon's old house at $54 million. The highest priced house was the one that was that Saudi Arabian guy he had built on the corner. And it was $121 million.
And literally,
my house was like on the other side of the wall.
And so
I looked out of the Pacific Ocean, same, right above churches, surfing beach. Yeah. Had my own private access, gated private access.
The distance to the beach was how far?
If you jumped off the cliff, it was 100 feet. If you didn't jump off the cliff, you had to walk around. So it's like 500 yards.
Yeah.
To the ocean.
So that's where Mike lives. And then you get in a helicopter and you go out to the blast furnace that is 29 Palms. Right? It's when you're stationed out in 29 Palms and you've been there, you get used to it. Right? When you're living the rich guy life and then you go up there, you're like, get my ass out of here. This sucks.
And then going out to Sunshine Peak.
Yeah.
So Sunshine Peak is the northern part of 29 Palms. And so if Rudy's listening, he'll get a kick out of this. So Sunshine Peak is where the aviation guys would go and drop their hung ordnance.
Explain that. So hung ordnance, it sounds...
Yeah, so if they had stuff that they didn't want to take back, they didn't want to fly or anywhere, but they couldn't... Sunshine Peak was like that place you'd go and they would just drop it.
Right.
And it would detonate but it was a mountain called Sunshine Peak. It was really easy to find because it was like the highest mountain to the north of Grand Palms.
So
that's where all the aviation guys.
Okay. So if I'm in an exercise and they're utilizing me and they don't use all my ordnance, I can go to Sunshine Peak and I can blast away and then I go back home slick. All right.
But you drop your hung ordnance. It's a word for it, right?
Got it. Yep.
Your unused ordnance. So fast forward many years later, I'm at the Oak Club one day, and a buddy of mine introduces this female pilot, and her call sign is Sunshine. I was dying laughing, man. And so I do the... Why did they name you Sunshine? Oh, because I'm so bubbly and,
No,
so,
they didn't. Nobody's buying that.
No. Your name, your call sign, Sunshine, sweetheart, because you're getting yeah. And it was kind of like this odd moment, like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, aviator call signs, they're never for the reasons that they will tell you.
No.
Rudy,
the truth.
Yeah, you don't give yourself... your call sign. Somebody, you get it from your squadron, blah, 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 blah. Rudy's is pretty apropos. Rudy applied, this is kind of odd to believe once you've met him, but our boy Kurt Knowles, he came in the Marine Corps and he became a financial management officer.
Yeah.
What? He applied to flight school 7 times before and then got accepted on the 7th time. So hence his call sign, Rudy. Right. So, yeah.
Well, and then a buddy of mine that, and Rudy knows him, his call sign's Mud Duck.
Uh oh. Why?
Yeah.
There's always a pretty interesting story behind your call sign.
Mud Duck was in a F-18 cockpit, I think over the Atlantic or the Pacific. Either way, a long trip ahead of him, and had bad Mexican food that night.
Oh.
And yeah. Hence the name Mud Duck, because he used a duck sitting in his own mud.
Nice. See, there are good stories, though. I will grant you that.
Yeah.
Most of them have decent. So we had our other air officer in Afghanistan, his call sign's Metro. You're like, Metro?
Yeah.
Like, what
Metrosexual.
Is that? Metrosexual. Yeah, Metrosexual. What? And he's like, on a deployment. I got drunk, and then we got on the metro, and then we wound up from Thailand. We wound up in like Laos, and got in trouble, and I became Metro from then on. So it's always an interesting little bit of a story.
We had a guy, yeah. We had Hobbit, because he was a little short guy, but he had long feet with the hairy knuckles on the end of his feet. So they named him Hobbit.
There's some brutal nicknames. I had a buddy that I nicknamed him Marty, and then so people would, you know, you get new guys in, and you're like, and somebody walks in like, "Where's Marty?" Like, he's over there, and then, you know, they'll ask like, "Why do you call Captain Wallace Marty? See how big his head is? Yeah, like that's the size of a Mardi Gras head that you would see down at the parade." So that's what Marty stands for.
Yeah, and that Marty is in with a Y. Marty with the Y.
Yeah. And then, like, everybody starts laughing. We had a kid, and I think Mike knows it, this guy. His name was Harry Frank. I don't know if you know him. He was in my basic school class, and he had this kind of long head, and he had ears that stuck straight out. And he wasn't in my platoon at OCS, but at the basic school, you know, his nickname was Wingnut, right? And so, like, somebody walks in, like, where's Wingnut? And, like, who's that? And like Lieutenant Frank, and you look at him, and it's one of those nicknames, and you start laughing, because his head looks straight up like a Wingnut.
Yeah.
Oh my God! So some of the nicknames are pretty funny.
Before I forget,
what?
So when you and Rudy fly out here to Granbury,
yes,
and then we drive out to North Carolina,
yeah,
I want you to go buy Qantas Milpon. With a cooler. And I want you to get a gallon, like bring an ice cream gallon of the chorizo and the beans.
Okay.
Probably 2 inches of the flour tortillas.
Okay.
All the tamales and all the rolled tacos that could fit everywhere else, and bring that with you.
Okay. All right.
I told Buck, I said he's going to be one of those. You ever seen a cat, like a feral cat, grab a fish, and then you go try and take it away, and they just kind of do that.
Oh, that, yeah, I've seen him do that. Oh,
yeah, it's going to be Buck with that tamale in his mouth when you go, you know, oh, here you go.
Cats are pretty disturbing, the noises that they make when they do that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's weird noises. I don't like cats. Yeah. We had a cat growing up.
I hate them.
We had a cat.
No, I don't like them.
Sam, the cat, my mom. We had dogs, and we got a cat. The,
cats, yeah.
We got a new
if
house.
If you name a cat, then you're just as crazy.
Yeah.
Cat.
No, well, our cat was named Sam.
Like, what cat ever comes, you know, listens?
No.
Come here, Sam the cat. Sam, come here, Sam. Stop it, Sam. Down, Sam. Quit
no, they only, it's first time I ever heard my mom say the F word. My dad got to the big leagues, so we built a new house in an olive orchard. Don't ever do that, because you have olives all over your yard all the time, and your kid has to rake them up. It sucks. I hate olives.
Right.
So my mom gets to, you know, like it's every woman's dream. Like she gets to design the house. So she designs the house. We move in, and the cat got attacked by a dog after we moved, and then he wouldn't go outside except in our backyard for a long time. So anyway, so Sam, unbeknownst to anybody, he was pissing down the central air conditioning vents that were in the rug, right on the floor.
Yeah.
So you don't know until you turn the heat on. So turn the heat on, and you were inside of a cat's bladder. And my mom's like, "What? What is going on?" So she's just like throwing a fit, right? And then all of a sudden, I remember she comes on the corner, and here he is squatting over an air conditioning vent, and my mom drops the F-bomb. I was like, "Whoa, what's going on? Corporal Punishment Kathleen dropping the F-bomb." So, yeah, it was pretty eye-opener. Cat, Sam, died of old age.
Yeah. But we need some last Qantas Milpons.
All right. Well, what I want you to do is you're going to have to,
as
like...
as you can carry.
You're going to have to, like, text me your order, and then I'll do that.
I'm just going to call them and have them say, Mike McNamara is picking it up.
Okay.
And you guys better not eat it all on the plane.
No. I mean, that's like a... this is like a delicacy for you. Right?
Oh, my God. I'm excited to think about it.
No, no kidding. I mean, if when Mike talks about food, he talks about food, and he's a foodie, so he talks about food. When he talks about Las Cuantas Milpas, it's different.
Dude, I'm telling you, if it wasn't so damn far away, I'd drive there every once in a while and just get it.
How far of a drive is it? Is it 2 days or three?
To San Diego?
Yeah.
It is, Las Cuantas Milpas is, it's actually shorter to drive to North Carolina than it is San Diego.
Is it?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy about that is I only go through two states to get there, Arizona and New Mexico. You know, you start in Texas and you finish in California. You go through Arizona and New Mexico. Going east, you get to go through Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and then into North Carolina.
Wait a minute. From me?
It's 1,132 miles to San Diego from here. It's 1,118 miles to North Carolina.
I was going to say, it's 1,300 miles from me to you. I just looked it up. 1,372 miles. So 1,400.
Yeah, it's 1,132 to Las Cuantas Milpas. And then to Camp Lejeune. Camp Lejeune, it's 1,179.
So you're almost equidistant, but you're like sitting right in the center of the United States.
Texas is the center of the center of the universe.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of, it's called an egocentric universe. So if you're in Afghanistan.
An egocentric universe.
That's.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting sick and tired of you thinking that I got a big ego.
Exactly. Where in the hell would you get that impression?
Where are you pulling this out of?
Let me read your story and tell me what you think. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So you're going to be the convening. You're going to be the court martialing officer. So you're the head of these. Let's see. You're the head of the general court martial. Okay. So you're going to be a general, which is not hard for you because you think you're a general anyway. IG slams Air Force Central Deputy Brigadier General for inappropriate relationship. Brigadier General Jose Monteagudo dishonored and disgraced himself by engaging in a years-long inappropriate relationship with his XO. All right?
Okay.
So he's the deputy at Air Force Central. The XO served under his command as a captain. And
is the XO a boy or a girl?
Girl. Her husband also served under his command.
Oh, so she's married too.
Yes.
And what rank is she?
He was married at the time, later divorced in 2015, the IG said. Let's see, witnesses, they had their own language and an energy between them. Woo! Love is in the air.
So what's the question?
So the question is, what punishment would you give to him?
$5 a day for
him. Okay.
So, yeah.
So you're the head of the general court martial. What would your punishment be to him? You find him guilty.
What would be my punishment if I found him guilty?
No, you will find him guilty, okay?
I'd dismiss him.
Would you reduce him?
No, I would dismiss him.
See, you know what? You're bullshit. Why would you not reduce him? She's in his
chain.
Why
does it matter? If he gets a dismissal, it doesn't even matter. If you dismiss him, he gets nothing anyway.
What? What do you mean he gets nothing?
Didn't even a dismissal is when you get dismissed as an officer. It's like you never even existed. No matter what rank you are, you don't get any benefits from it. You get nothing. No pay, no allowances, nothing.
So you dismiss him from the service?
Yeah.
All right, I like that. I like that. These felonies and then the guy's allowed to retire, to me, that's bullshit.
Well, that's just it. That's what a dismissal does. It erases all of that.
The husband.
Well, why would you punish a guy? Why would you court-martial him when all you can have to do is dismiss him? Right. Remember, a dismissal as an officer is that he's never existed. You get nothing. You didn't get an ID card. You got to turn in all your uniforms. They take your ID card and you walk out. And then if you later on come back and you say, what'd you do? For the last 20 years, I was in the Air Force. And you're like, really? And they did a background check and they contact the Air Force. The Air Force say, who? Never heard of them. That's a dismissal.
Her husband was also under her command. While she was on full-time orders, she was allowed to take what the IG concluded was liberal tele-network policy that was noticed by members of the wing, raising the perception of favoritism. Some estimated that she was in the office about half the time or there about two or three hours a day. What she wanted, she got. She was never there but got paid. You're gone all the time and you're not being charged leave? That's crazy. She also received glowing performance ratings from the general. See, this kind of stuff, this felonious stuff, and watch what's going to happen. He's going to retire as a brigadier general. That's punishment. That's punishment enough. No, it's not. Okay.
No, it's not.
All right. I like it. I like it. All right. Yeah, or reduce him to captain, you know, but.
Tech sergeant.
Okay, here's another headline I want to get your reaction. Chelsea Manning lost her primary election yesterday, 80% to 20%. You got any thoughts about that?
She lost. Well, first of all, I have a problem with you referring to Chelsea Manning as a she.
It? Don't be hating on transgenders.
It's an it.
Don't transgender hate today, okay? Try to be open-minded, okay, advanced human being.
Chelsea Manning,
yes,
has a mental disorder. And that's not me. That's the legal term for that. So, yeah, I don't have to accept it. I don't care what you do with it, but you know what? I don't accept it. So Chelsea Manning lost 20% to 80%.
Yes, yes. So
and we're surprised by that. Guess we're not. Yeah, good to go.
Yeah, you world's know what? Honestly, biggest, honestly. Not,
but you know what? It's not in the bigger shithole like I thought we were.
Yeah, exactly. Made me feel good about the citizens of the state of Maryland. Figured it out.
Yeah, they're not as stupid as we thought we were.
Exactly. 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 So, all right. Just wondering about that. We're having a discussion about fishing among the ass clowns.
Oh, so do you?
Among the ass clowns.
I sent Rudy where to go fishing because he was like, I want to take Brock out, do this and that. And I'm like, dude, why? Go, like, take him out there. You know, Laguna Niguel Park. I took Megan there when she was little. You look at that. Do you see that picture of that trout that lady caught at that park?
Yeah. Do you believe that? Do you think that was staged? Like she bought it?
No, there's huge trout there. People don't realize that.
Where is that lake?
Laguna Niguel.
Whoa. Now, are you a fisherman?
Right off of Aliso Creek Road.
Are you a fisherman? I mean, you're a Minnesota guy. Are you a fisherman?
Yeah, I like fishing. Yeah,
you do.
I really do.
I hate it. Yeah. I think it's boring as whale shit.
No. So go there, do that. You know, do the whole thing, and then.
And then report back to me. Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah. So then we get Montana Man, who always jumps in and like steers us into like total oblivion, where he's like Kayamaka or Lake O'Neill. Like Lake O'Neill, fish at Lake O'Neill? Are you serious?
Lake O'Neill, that was my suggestion. What's wrong with Lake O'Neill?
Are you guys smoking crack?
Why are you hating on Lake O'Neill? It's close to where he lives.
Okay, have you seen Lake O'Neill lately?
I looked at it when I went to a funeral
two months ago.
You haven't.
Do you know why I know that?
Why?
Because you're still referring to it as a lake. So that tells me right there that you have not seen Lake O'Neill in quite some time.
I saw it about 2 months ago. It still looked like a lake. It still looked like a lake.
Bullshit, man.
Lake O'Neill. Lake O'Neill is on. You know where he should go. Go to Cass Lake.
Go where? Cass.
What's the name of the lake? What's the training area on the eastern side of Pendleton, up in the mountains? There's a lake up there.
Wait.
Case Springs.
Little case and big case.
Either one, man. Go up there. I'm sure there's all.
That's a pond, dude. You can like.
Doesn't matter. It's close.
The whole thing.
It's close.
Okay.
You take your kid. You go fishing, and then you're back for the Yankee Red Sox game. Boom. Done.
Lake Miguel, Stock Lake. Easy. They got little boats you can rent. Little electric motors. Go out there. Have a good time. Teach them. Catch some big fish that you can actually eat. You know. You eat any fish that's in Camp Pendleton, you're going to get lead poisoning. Think about it. I mean, all that lead leaching into the, you know, especially Case Springs. You know how much lead's up in that area?
A lot. There's pictures of guys from World War II, you know, training up at Case Springs and shit. Yep.
And you're going to eat fish that come out of that pond where all that lead is leaching into the water table?
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
I'm not going to eat it. I'll, like, serve it to my friends and stuff, but I'm not eating it.
Yeah, but see, the trout you get at Lake Miguel, you can eat.
Yeah, oh, right. There's probably no chemicals in the water there. But again, I know you're like, you just want to say, talk shit against Montana Man because he let you have it yesterday and you're not over that.
He let me have it? How did he let me have it?
Because he called in and said, I'm sick of the Gunner being stupid. Knock it off. And you don't like it. So you got told to go to Parade Rest, and you don't like it. And then you have to, like, use all these other little manipulations to get back at people. I know you.
Yeah. First of all, I wasn't wrong. Second of all, and I was, like, trapping him anyway. So it's like getting him involved. And so do you. So don't act like you're the patron saint here right now. And, you know,
What are you talking about? I don't, whatever. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay,
right now.
Hey, Rob, if you're listening, most of the time we go in cahoots with each other and set this up to bring you in. There.
That's a lie. We never conspire. We don't have to. No, but okay. First of all, it's not that's bullshit because for instance, when we had the infamous HME incident, right? Was there
the HME incident? That
was just honest. That was just honest reaction, right?
Right.
There was no coordination with that.
Right.
And so, finish this sentence. I can fix a lot of things.
Can't fix stupid.
Exactly. It's stupid. So anyway. All right. Okay. Here's an email. Can we go back to flamethrowers for a second? Has Gunner ever fired a World War II flamethrower? Those things are pretty difficult.
So compressed air and fuel.
Yes. That's it?
Yeah, compressed air, and if you can oxygenate it, even better. I'm trying to think like all the different ones that were some. I mean, some look like just come and pack some acetylene torches in a backpack and put that on you, and then had some kind of delivery device. You know, I'm not always a big fan of it. I'm not a big fan of slaying weapons, so.
Why not?
Well, because, one, you're carrying that crap on your back. It's not protected. If something happens, you know, you're wearing it on your back. It's not going to be a good day for you.
Right.
That stuff doesn't react well to bullets or shrapnel. So, again, something even nicks, doesn't hit me. It just hits my backpack. I'm gone in a ball of flames, literally.
Yeah, literally.
And the other thing is, too, you know, they don't reach out. They don't spread out that much. And then, you know, the thing is, again, is they're not bullets. So, I mean, even if you're getting them near them, just shoot at the cone of the flame. You're going to get hit. So I'm not a big, huge fan of them. They don't do a lot. I think that's why we didn't pursue them. Someone with some maturity said, what are we doing here?
Yeah, but we used the shit out of them in the Pacific, man. Right? I mean,
but that was a good weapon at that time. Very primitive, you know, bunkers, trench. They were beneath the ground. They were in trench lines and bunkers.
Blind them, burn them, blast them. The three B's. Yeah, that's what they did. So when they practiced that, that was like a fire team supporting one guy to blow. So you had the fire team had to get into a position, maneuver, get in a position, then suppress the enemy, and then the flamethrower guy, who was clearly noticeable among everybody else, as were the flame tanks. You know, I mean, ask Marines who were like any part of the island fighting. When tanks came around in general, they got the shit mortared and shelled out of them. And then when they saw the flame tank, because it had that little, gas tube going up the side of the barrel of the main gun. And it was, that was the lighter. And so you hit a switch and a little flame produced, and that's what ignited. And so when the Japanese saw that son of a bitch, that was target number one. And then going with your, you know, you see those pictures of Marines with those tanks on their back. Those guys were, dude, get away from me, okay? Hey, man, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. And that's, so, not, but it was a whole, you know, it was a fire team event, the security of those guys. And, so I understand. And, yeah, those things are, but you know what? The guys on that I interviewed said that was an awesome weapon, man. It did, you know, it stopped whatever was going on. It stopped it. You just heard silence after that, sucking the oxygen out of the cave, killing everybody inside, burning people that were near the opening. It was just horrible, horrible weapon, but effective on in Iwo Jima, Okinawa, Peleliu, some of the worst fights the Marines got into. I mean, that's a gruesome fighting though. I thought for some reason you had fired one.
I did, but not during that time.
Oh, all right.
That was the very first time we tested. But then again, I don't know why we were looking at them. I thought maybe someone had put a request out there, and we were kind of looking at where they were as far as maturity. But yeah, I did later on. I did actually get to pull the trigger on a couple, but again, I didn't like it. I didn't like that feeling.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, you know, what are the flame weapons that we have? Do you remember that, what was it called?
Faye? They had the M202.
What was it called? Mike, what was that aerial thing? Faye? Fuel air explosive? What was that? I never saw
it. That's a bomb.
Yeah, what is it though? Because I remember when they dropped it, it's like they had to drop it like two corridors away. It was going to be part of the CACs I was involved in. It's like, yeah, they're doing the Faye drop right now. What's Faye? Fuel air explosive. What's that? Oh, it's just mist. Like the whole thing turns to an inferno. Oh, no shit. You ever seen it? You ever seen with Faye?
Yeah, but not, so Faye, fuel air explosion, what do they call it? I'm trying to think of, what was the term? Thermobaric.
Yeah.
That was it. Thermobaric weapons were really, really popular because we wanted something that was thermobaric. So those things work as, thermobaric weapons work, kind of like, they have to have an oxidizer. So, you know, something that, you know, when something blows up, it needs, you know, so much fuel and so much oxidizer, whereas thermobarics are almost 100% fuel. So they produce a lot more energy. So a lot of the Bay, we had a thermobaric warhead for our small rifle. We had a thermobaric law rocket. And this is a huge amount of blast overpressure. That's all that did was, it uses the oxygen to generate, you know, higher temperatures in the explosion, causing more burn and, blast and overpressure and stuff.
Yeah, I just watched a video of the Fay thing, and it's, it comes off the wing, it gets to a certain altitude, and then it kind of disintegrates, I don't want to say disintegrates, but it breaks up, and you can see these things moving through the air, dissipating, which I guess is spreading the fuel, and then an igniter, and then there's a huge explosion, and not only the explosion, but the overpressure, you can see it impacting the building that's in the shot. So, Wow. We'll wait for the gunner to rejoin us. We're talking about flamethrowers and fuel explosives. Cal Humphrey talked about that when I interviewed him, and he said, I don't want anything to do with that. He said, first of all, I only weighed about 140 pounds. That thing was heavy. Second of all, man, he said, you put that on, and you were a magnet. You were a magnet. So I left that thing alone. I let bigger guys take care of it. He's probably still talking. He doesn't know that we're not listening.
You've reached Mike Musselman at 817.
You know what that means? It means either his phone died or he's got no reception. So, in either case, that's not good. I want to go back to the Russian thing. Okay? So, this exclusive little Russian media project, right? I was talking about this in the first hour. His name is Alexander Malkovich. What happened?
I don't know. That was weird. Then I tried to call you back, but then it just would be busy.
Yeah, no, it's you. Because I tried to call you back, it went straight to voicemail, so you must have lost your signal. Hey, let me ask you this. I was reading an article done by the McClatchy News Service about these Russian organizations that are doing work here in the United States. I'm curious, do you think, just your sense of it, somebody sent me the menu for Las Cuantas Milpas, by the way. I was checking it out.
Who sent it to you?
Ohio Man.
Oh, he's been there, though.
Yeah, he has been there. Yeah. Daughter of Navy Ensign, Surface Warfare Officer. Here's the menu. It's pretty simple. Rice and beans, rice, burritos, roll tacos, order of $5, $5. A dozen tamales, $21. Sodas, $1.10 and $1.60. Rice and beans and tamale, $5. Beans, 3 sizes to choose from. Chorizo con huevos, all right. And taco tamales, $1.75. And a dozen tortillas, $3.25. Or their corn, $1.50. Hot sauce, and then you can get water. Bottled soda or canned soda, all different prices. So there you have it. That's the menu. That's the whole menu. That's the whole menu right there.
Yep.
So of yours, have you had every one of those? Have you had every one of those?
I've eaten everything there. Yep.
All right.
There you have it.
The but I don't know that I want to fly with Rudy when we go.
Fly spare?
Yeah, I don't like optional aviation events. And people call me a pussy. I don't care. You can only punch the ticket so many times before the ticket punches you.
As long as Rudy agreed to not to do barrel rolls, loops, Immelmanns, power, whatever, you know, any kind of stunt.
Right.
Instead of just flying straight. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't like the whole stunt thing. Like, sorry, man. No, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah. No, he would.
But see, what I want to do is I want to come and spend like a few days in Granbury.
Well, come early.
That's what I'm saying. And then
then we'll get on the road.
Then you start bitching at me.
No. If you come early.
Yes.
Like you said, you come early, we come to Buckshot, we'll sit here.
I need to
get some coffee at Buckshot.
I need to meet Biff.
Yep.
I want to go shooting at your range that you cleaned up. Has it stayed clean?
No.
What? What happened?
Slowly forgetting. You'll see. You'll see. You'll meet Ron.
Don't you have to? Have you gone back and cleaned it up again and said, "All right, ass clowns"?
No. We were there not too long ago, and I read them the riot act, and then they cleaned it again.
Oh, really?
And Brenda Ron's wife. Yeah, Brenda Ron's wife, who said, "See, I told you." Told you.
He's gonna get pissed. I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
And it's actually Brenda's range because it's on the property. She keeps reminding Ron that.
Okay, here's a question I mused about earlier, and so who's doing more to screw up the American democracy, the Democrats and the Republicans or the Russians?
Is this a trick question?
I know, right? The Russians are sitting there watching like, boys, we don't need to do anything, right?
You're doing it to yourself.
They're doing it to themselves. Like, yeah, so, okay, the demise of the democracy. Give me a percentage that's Democratic, Republican, and then give me Democrat, Republican, Russian. Okay, the top two combined.
98% Democrat.
There you go. 1% Republican.
Republican, no. And plus or minus 0.1% Russian.
No, you know, the president, why would the president tweet out, the Russians didn't interfere with our election? Look, I know you're going to go see Putin and all that, but come on, don't say shit like that. It's just stupid.
No. I don't even, because he can't do that anymore, because you don't know what's going on.
I know, like, God, knock it off, man. All you do is you make yourself look stupid, even when you do good stuff. You know, which, you know, he does on occasion, you know, and then you say stuff like that. Come on. So anyway, here's an email for you. Hey, Mac, could you ask the gunner?
What?
Hey, Mac, your live show went dead on my computer. Well, it's still streaming. I'm looking at the stream. It's still streaming. Right, I'm still on the internet, which means that's still working. So that's probably, I don't know what happened. I get these messages sometimes, so and try to troubleshoot it. Anyway, email. Hey, Mac, will you ask the gunner what kind of tortillas? Is he a flour tortilla guy? Is he a corn tortilla guy? And how long do those things stay when they're made the way he's talking about these kind of tortillas being made?
A couple days,
that's it?
Yeah.
You have to eat all the tortillas in a couple days?
Dude, you don't have to, but you will. I guarantee it. I guarantee it, man. Guarantee it.
All right.
And the best way to do it, like, in the morning, you know, you get up, you got your tortilla, you heat it up. Put a little bit of butter on it and sprinkle some cinnamon and some sugar into it, roll it up, and then you have breakfast. Lunch, You heat up the tortilla, you put a little bit of butter on it, you put a little bit of shredded cheese on it, fold it over, you got a quesadilla. Dinner, you heat up the tortilla, you put a little cilantro and some chopped up chicken and some beans and some rice, roll it up, you got yourself a burrito. Greatest invention in the world, the tortilla.
Well, you know what? And every culture has a version of it. So if you go around the world,
I mean,
flatbread.
Pita bread is good too. I like pita bread.
Pita bread. It's all a version of it.
Right.
Yeah. So
what I don't like is just sliced bread. There's no imagination. I like non bread or unleavened bread. I like pita bread where you got a pop of carrot, fill it up, you got yourself a sandwich.
Well, you know what's Mike was odd is that, you know, the English, right? The French have the crepe. The English don't have anything. The English ate bread, you know. So then that's our culture, you know. That's the North American culture is a bread culture, but everybody else around the world is a flatbread culture.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd that we're the only. You know, we're the ones that are different in that we didn't embrace flatbread. Mexicans did. Mm-hmm. Latin America does. North America does not. So, just kind of interesting. Just a little bit of an observation there. What?
I don't understand this text by one of our buddies about DMV in California.
Oh, Luke's at the DMV today.
Okay, so here's the problem. Don't complain if you live in a stupid state.
Oh, my God. Here we go again.
You don't understand. You know, remember when you moved to Virginia? Well, I moved to Virginia out of California, and you go to register your vehicle, and the lady comes back, and she hands you your plate and your stickers and everything, and goes, here you are. And you're like, what just happened? What do you mean? What do I do with these? She's like, you put them on your truck.
Yeah, but there's nobody living in Virginia. There's people in California, especially in Southern California. I mean, you live in like Mayberry, for God's sakes. Okay? There's nobody living there.
That it's impossible for California to do that?
Yeah. Well, I'd be curious if you lived in Dallas.
It's possible to trap the methane farts and burps of a cow.
I'd be curious if you lived in Dallas if you had the same experience. So no.
Yeah, they're the same, man.
So you walk in and you're out in 4 minutes. Hey, what's going on, Larry?
Not even.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I've been to both. I've been to Mayberry's DMV out here, and I've been to the city DMV, and they are just the same experience.
Yeah. Let me just tell you. I mean, I'm kind of weakly defending my position, but I don't care. I don't care what you're going to do at the state. When you have to go as a walk-in, wait in line for 6 hours, something's wrong. And so,
but I haven't had that. What I'm trying to say is I haven't had that problem here yet.
Oh, I know. You're not going to.
California, you know, you have to block off a whole day for any kind of DMV issue.
To that. No doubt.
I mean, I had to get a police officer buddy involved because the whole thing when my wife sold her car here.
I remember.
You know, she bought it in California. She sold it here in Texas. It transitioned. It did its own thing. Then we get a parking ticket from the LA County Sheriff's Department. We're like, what? So we look at it and, you know, so the plate, it's the same make and model, just a different California plate on it. So the car that she had sold to the dealer, traded in on another car, they had sold to a third party, and the third party sold to somebody who lives in California now. A kind of person in California has got it and was parking illegally. We were getting the parking tickets because the VIN number still has Tina's name on it with the Granberry accent. So I called the parking enforcement in L.A. and I said, can you help me explain this? Here, I'm going to – and I sent them the bill of sale, the transfer document, everything. You know what their response was?
I remember. Of course I do.
Yeah, this is going to not shock you, right? This is the police department, a department within the police department in L.A., huge city, says, we can't help you. Why not? Well, because basically, I said, okay, can you do this? Can I parked a car stolen, and the next time they get a parking ticket, you impound it, and then you can do it if you want. No, sir, that's submitting a false police report. Okay, but so you're telling me that it makes more sense to arrest me or issue me a violation by submitting a false police report that's telling you to go ahead and take custody of this car, because obviously they broke the law trying to register it, but it's now my fault. Yes, sir. Goodbye.
I
so
remember.
It took the police buddy to call him, and he went in there and fixed it for us.
Is that how that resolved itself?
You know what it really
itself?
Came out to do? You know what it really came out to?
What?
There's a button on your keyboard that allows you to go backspace, and then put it, and then you type in another name. You type in the Milkadian registered owner that they even recognize as registered owner. It's just because they in California forgot to make a change in the DMV report that the car had changed titles.
And
that, they forgot to do that.
And that happens. That happens when you traded in, and the dealer in Texas re-registers it in Texas, and informs the state of California that hey, this
right.
car is no longer registered to this
did
person.
Not use yeah. their part.
Right. It's now registered for.
Now it becomes my problem.
Now you might. So when that happens.
And you know the only way out of it.
Well, I know
you
what know they.
Asked them, so what do you want us to do about this? You know what they said? The only way out of this, sir,
you
is
have to pay
your parking ticket.
Yeah.
What?
I know, but you're talking to an idiot, okay? You're talking to an idiot.
But
you're talking to some customer. And then what you want to say is that idiot is emblematic of everybody, and it's not. That's wrong.
No.
You shouldn't do that.
I beg to differ, because we did not talk to an idiot, because we immediately asked for a supervisor. It was the supervisor that told me the easiest way out of this is to pay the ticket.
I don't believe that.
No, okay, really?
Yes.
All right, I'll have Tina call you tonight.
Okay.
You can answer the same question.
I don't believe that.
Then he said, the easiest way is to pay them, and then you can file a report for us to get your money back.
Oh, well, that might be the easiest way. Well, that might be the easiest
because
way.
That's to them, that's the easiest way, because there was a time that you had so many days to do it. Otherwise, they're going to issue you a warrant for your arrest for some stupid traffic violation. And so that's what I told the guy. I said,
but you're not asking them how to resolve it, which would be a paperwork thing. You're saying, what's the quickest way for me to resolve it? So to me, those are two different. So if you need this resolved today.
The quickest way turned out to be in the backspace and put the new registered owner in it, which actually happened. But it took a police officer to come over into that department and say, hey, listen, you guys are doing this kind of screwed up. Just do this. Done. That's the easiest way.
Where did the police officer in California or in Texas? One of your buddies out here?
Police in Los Angeles, Los Angeles Sheriff's Office.
There you have it. The gunner working the magic. Working the magic.
But that's the easiest way.
Yeah, but I don't see that.
It doesn't
sound as bad to me. It doesn't sound as bad to me now because you said, that the supervisor says the quickest way to do this. It's not the right way. So if you want this resolved today, you can get it resolved today, pay the tickets, and file this paperwork, and you'll get your refund. That's how you can resolve it today. But if in order for it to be resolved without you paying, it's got to go through this a different way, which was – if you didn't go about it that way, how would you have resolved it if you didn't pay the tickets? Would you go – because the registration goes from you, does the car to the dealer. The dealer transfers it into their name. But the dealer didn't do that either then, Mike, because the tickets are coming to you.
No.
Oh.
Okay, listen. You're from California, so this is hard for you to understand.
Okay? I know what you're going to say.
Right.
The California database isn't updated because California didn't do their piece.
California – the dealer did his piece. The dealer transferred the bill of sale transfer through, but because it's still registered in California. It was where it was purchased, it was bought. Okay? So when the title cleared.
No, that doesn't make sense to me, though.
Oh, God. Okay. So.
Okay.
For instance, when I bought my boat, when I had my boat, okay?
No, that's not the discussion. That's not the discussion I want to have.
No, this is easier for you to understand because.
No, it's not. No, okay, no. I don't. So listen to me. This deals with data. This deals with databases, and you and I had this conversation relative to weapons. There isn't one database. Every state has its own database.
Every state is different.
Okay, so there you go. So it makes sense to me.
The state of Texas contacted DMV in California and notified them that there was a new owner registered to this vehicle.
Right,
and the owner was actually the dealership because they didn't had sold it yet.
Right.
We have that documentation. We have that piece of paper. We have the communication between both parties.
Okay. Because it happens. It happens a million times a day, or more than a million.
Then when the person came into the dealership, then the dealership sold it to a third party, which the car ended up in California and was sold to a California resident.
Right.
So it was re-entered into. When it was sold to a third party, they were out of California, so then the bill of sale, again, transferred from Texas to California.
Okay, I have a question for you. Did it have Texas plates or California plates?
California plates.
Got it. All right.
Okay? But when it was all said and done, when the first time it was parked illegally, when it ran, and see, that was my question. I said, wait a second. Did you get, what's the plate say? Well, we don't run the plate, sir, on the ticket. I said, yes, you do. I've gotten tickets before with my plate on them.
Right.
You know, and they're like, well, we verified through the VIN number. I said, okay, that's fine, but tell me what the plate was. Was it a California or a Texas plate? And they said, well, because they said at first, California said at first, it was Texas plate. It was the original plate. And I said, you're lying to me. You know why? Because I have those in my garage, and I'll take a photograph of both of them. And because we, in Texas, we took the Texas plates off because they're personalized. They're DV plates.
So
I said, I have those. They're on my wife's car. So don't tell me they're on the car in California.
Well, they
have. Then so they came back and said, oh, no, sir, they're not Texas plates. They're California plates. And I said, okay, so I don't, tell me again.
Hold on. I don't understand. So the California plates that were on it can only be obtained from the California DMV.
Okay. The California plates that when we first bought it, before we moved it in Texas. Okay.
Did you slap those back on it?
Those are hanging in my garage.
Oh, okay.
When we registered in Texas and got the new plates,
right.
I remember, it was actually fun. I said, here's my plates, my California plates. I'm going to surrender them to you. You know what she said to me? I don't want those things.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I said, what do we do with them? Because in California, you're supposed to surrender them.
Right.
And so I said, she said, I don't care what you do with them. And I said, okay. So I had both of them hanging on a nail with my truck plates when I first moved here. So they're both on there. So when California came back and said, no, they're the California plates, the original California plates, I said, no, they're not. Those are hanging in my garage. And then they came back and said, no, we didn't make a correction. It's the Texas plates that we had there on the car. I said, no, because those are on my wife's car. There was no plates when that car left our possession. The California plates, when we first moved to Texas, we were removed in July of 2015.
So
that's when we registered her car.
So the person bought the
car.
The
Texas plates were removed when we sold the car back to the dealership in 2017.
All right.
So the plates that have to be on the car are from when the new owner actually registered. So here's the thing. Again, this is my confusion. Is the person bought the car in California? We know this because of the information we get from the DMV.
Right.
We have their information.
Got it.
Why? Because they sent it to us.
Got it.
The person purchased the car in California, registered the car in California. So when the, even if the system was faulty at times.
Okay, hold on.
You go buy a car in California, you register
on
DMV in California and get plates.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Is it possible that they bought the car, never registered in California, and put on an old pair of plates so that it couldn't be traced to them?
So they bought the car in California, never registered it.
Right. So they do those.
And put on fake plates.
Right. They do those vehicle auctions,
okay.
Right? So if you're a used car buyer, you buy the car,
it
California dealership.
We would have never.
Right.
We would have never got a second ticket. We got three. You know why you don't get a second ticket? You're a cop, and you roll up, and there's a car parked illegally. And you run the VIN, and
right.
The VIN comes back to that make and model. But the plates don't. Guess what you do?
You call the impound lot, and you say, come get this thing.
Right.
Stolen vehicle.
Right.
Right.
Right. So it never even made the second or third. So that's
okay, but
that
so if they gave them the ticket, then the car rolls up. You know what? I don't know that. Do they do tickets like that anymore? Because let me just say, talk about rackets. Ticketing's a racket, right? They go around in those little carts, and they have a scanner. They have a scanner, and they scan either your license plate or their VIN number. They hit enter. They type in the code you violate, and they print out your ticket and what you owe, and they leave that on your windshield. And they do car after car after car after car after car. It's like it's a cash machine, you know?
Right.
So would they have just done the VIN number like that and then printed out the ticket?
So they did, yes. I'm telling you, yes, they did. They ran the VIN.
Right.
And that's when it came up to our Tina's name and her address, our address.
Got it.
So, but see, here's like I'm having this conversation with the people, walking them through to see
right.
if they're catching and they're like, where this is going. So I say, okay, so let's walk through the timeline. The dealer then bought, or we sold the car back to the dealer to trade in. Yes. Okay. Then the dealer sold it to a third party company based out of California.
Got it.
And then that company sold it to John Smith.
Okay.
Yes. John Smith goes to the California DMV with his paperwork.
Right.
Of his new purchase of his used car in California,
right.
and registers it in your state, and within a month later, he gets a new plates from your state. Yes.
Got it.
And you're telling me that so how did my wife stay on the VIN?
I don't know.
That's where we don't know. Well, that's your problem, not my problem.
I agree.
You issued the plates to John Smith, a California resident, who's now parking illegally. Just because you made a clerical error and forgot to put my wife's name out, put this new owner in there, doesn't make it my fault.
So I should be able to validate that registration in my system, and see that it's a valid registration, and see that obviously, and there should be a VIN number associated with the registration.
Yeah, they both matter.
What?
VIN number that this guy, well, because we had the paperwork, they're both the same car, but they had two different owners.
So
for some reason, we're getting the bill.
So it was registered twice, and you're getting the bill.
Yeah. That's my point. That's
well,
what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but when they see it, okay, when they saw that, why didn't they say?
No. You're assuming
yes.
that we're using common sense. There was no common sense ever. Because like I said, we dealt with this for 6 months. Until finally I call a buddy and say, hey, man. And he sent me all the paperwork he got. Send him all the paperwork. 15 minutes later, he's like, what the hell is going on? I said, yeah. He goes, dude, I got this. It'll be done by today. And he called me later that day and said, hey, done. I said, what happened? He goes, I went down there. I talked to the guy in charge, showed it to them all. And when I explained to him, and they were in the same, but they were in the same mentality, that same, he goes, no, it isn't. You just delete the old owner. You're not breaking the law. There's a new owner. Look at the dates. The dates will tell you who the new owner is.
Yeah, but you know what's the most stupid thing about it is that it's not like that error doesn't get made a million times or a lot. I mean, it's not like something.
When it gets reinforced.
I know, but you would think there'd be some adult that would say, let me take a look. Right. You know, for whatever reason, the old owner didn't get deleted out of the system. You got a valid new owner, valid registration, boom. You would think that, like,
right.
that's not too much to
right.
ask. So when you were, so wait, who were you talking? Were you talking to somebody in the DMV or the city that that issued the ticket?
The issue, both. So the DMV couldn't help us because it was done over with. It wasn't their issue anymore. As they were. So the parking ticket department of the police department is completely different. So I initially talked to a sergeant, a detective in automobile crime or whatever, you know, and he finally called me back after leaving, you know, six messages because they're so busy. And called him back. He called me back and finally said, oh, there's nothing we can do about this. It's not really a crime. I said, wait, how is it not a crime? I mean, I don't understand. Even if the DMV really made the DMV is the one that should be, someone in the DMV should be thrown in jail for the crime. But they couldn't help. You know, it was kind of like that. And it was like, oh, for God's sake. So this guy, if in their mentality, it would have been, we would have eaten these tickets all the time and then putting all the paperwork back in the system trying to get a refund. You know, and that's one of those systems that you got to pay within, I think it's like 2 weeks to give you a ding.
I hate that.
Of notice, right?
Right. Then you forget. Then
you got to pay within 2 weeks.
Then it costs you $800.
But then when you put in for a reimbursement because they wrongly think, it could take up to 6 months. You know, it's like, come on.
I know, it's stupid.
Where's the fairness in this?
There's no fairness. There's no fairness. Okay, question for you. Email. Mac, need to change the subject. Reports yesterday that after the initial gunshots were fired, when the first call to police was made, they responded within 60 seconds and went immediately inside. Pretty good outcome, I would think, yes. The thing in Arlington yesterday, did you watch any of that?
No.
Yeah, they had just done a drill, a live shooter drill the week prior in the county, and so supposedly from the time that the first contact was made with 911, police officers were inside the building within 60 seconds. So somebody had to be near, you know, stepped on the gas, got there, you know, drove the block or two, got out, and they immediately entered the building. So, you know, we've talked a lot about people who don't do it right. You know, hats off to the people in Annapolis, because that is the change after what happened in Columbine in terms of active shooter confrontation, not waiting. You know, what we didn't see in Florida, and the loss of life could have been more substantial had those guys not done that. So, and then you know the dude mutilated his hand so they couldn't identify him, his fingers, so they couldn't fingerprint him before he did it. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, that is crazy.
But no, 60 seconds and straight in, that's awesome. You know, that's what you hope. And you know, I can imagine that the people down in Florida probably watched that and said, why couldn't the people at the school that day do that? And my daughter might still be alive. So anyway. All right. Red Sox Yankees tonight. All right. Just so we all know, there's no tweeting and chest thumping and shit talking during the games. Yes?
Unless the Red Sox are crushing them.
then I won't be able to contain myself. No, that's against the rules. Don't do that shit. Unless you want it done to you. Okay? Show some respect.
No, you're right. I won't break the rules.
Respect. Okay? And make, hey, look, and will you send Montana Man a text where he can find the game? Because you know, like, 20 minutes after the game starts, you're going to go, hey, where's the game tonight? Oh, like, are you kidding me? So, he's your responsibility.
All right, I'll send him a place where to find the game.
All right, man. Have a good weekend. When do we celebrate the 4th of July? Do we celebrate it Monday, next Friday? Do you have any idea? Do we celebrate it on the actual day? When's the nation celebrating the 4th?
Well, it's probably one of those lies that we've been told, like everything else. So we probably didn't declare our independence on the 4th of July. It was probably like August 14th, but then we backdated to the day we thought of it, so it comes July 4th.
Whoa, so, really?
Who knows, man? I mean, so yeah, we celebrated, I don't know. I mean, do you really celebrate it? Do you have a cake?
No.
But the Union Jack into it and everybody eats it?
You know what? That would be a cool cake, though. I'd like that cake. Union Jack.
With the Union Jack cake?
Or the, or like the, you know, Uncle Sam with his foot up King George's ass. Boom. That on the top of the cake. I'd go for that, too.
Uncle Sam kicking King George in the ass. That'd be a good cake. No, I'm not into the royalty stuff. So, I mean, that's, but, you know, again, we fight for our independence, you know, 250 some years ago. We gain it. And then now, today's day and age, we're so enamored with the royal family, and we can't give them what we would love. Nothing more than having a prince and a queen and a king here in America, just so we could, again, put somebody on a pedestal and worship them.
Wow, you're just you're not happy. You're not happy. Okay, all right.
No, the royal monarchy. Monarchies have outlived their time. You know, sure, let them whatever you're whatever. Yeah, you're come from royal blood. Again, really, do you want to go into the details of what that means, where brothers and sisters are married?
Here we go. Why don't
you
hate
call
on,
yourself?
We like Prince Harry.
Elite.
We like Prince Harry.
Group of society, and you had first cousins marrying first cousins? Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Wow. All right. Yeah. All right. Look, have a good weekend. Any, you guys doing anything crazy over the weekend?
No. Relax.
Just relaxing. Okay. All right, Gunner.
Yeah.
Tell the boys I said, hey, where are you going for lunch today?
Well, nowhere. Then there's something, now you said that, there's something I got to do tomorrow, but I can't remember what it is. Damn it. It's one of those things, too, I said that I would, I'll write it down. I forgot to write that.
Yeah, I hate that stuff. It'll come to you as you're moving around. Something will remind you. You'll see something. You're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, probably a phone call. Where are you?
What do you mean? I'm on my way. Where am I going?
Yeah.
Don't you remember you
where
said?
You?
Yeah. Where are you? When I get there, how am I going to see you? I'll be at the bar by the 10-gallon hat. Oh, you're at the Petroleum Club Annex. Yeah, where I said, don't you remember? Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you knew where you were.
And yeah, where you're fishing for. Yeah, we're filling up. Absolutely, brother.
There you go.
All right, man, I'll talk to you later.
There you have it.
Hey, but seriously, hey, put it down the plan. Start planning to come out here early so we can go. Don't just say it.
I'm the one that said it. You're the one that said, oh, get in the plane with Rudy. And I said, no, I want to come out and spend a few days in Granbury.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Bye. Painful. Yeah, that DMV. But see, it's hard to tell when Mike's just California hating or when he's telling the truth. Because he does not let the truth get in the way of a good story. You may or may not know that. Okay? You may or may not know that. So you have to go down that rabbit hole sometimes and footnote what in the hell he's got going. Okay, I want to talk. So I have to save. I want to talk about the whole Russian disinformation thing, because I find it interesting. And again, the Russians have been trying to do this forever, but the internet has made it so much easier for them. That which they couldn't do with spies, now they conveniently do from desks around the world. Like, God, how great is the internet? We could have never got this information. Now, they can't keep a secret from us, because it's simply a matter of, you know what, if we can't crack their security, then we'll get in a different way, right? So the information they just got about underwater missile technology that the Navy has, they got that from a contractor working, and they infiltrated the contractor's laptop. How do you protect against that? I mean, at some point, there's a weak link, and they constantly exploit those links, and then they unload. And all it takes is one for them to steal technology about that's been worked on for years. So, anywho, well, hopefully we do the same thing to them. The question is, when are those kind of attacks? And I'll draw a little parallel here as I head out the door. The Purple Heart was modified. You heard Mike and I talking about it, maybe. You heard Mike and I talking that we were against allowing the Purple Heart to be given for being knocked out because of an IED. Your brain was injured, right? So we were against that, but obviously we did not rule the day. So the Purple Heart was modified. So should the concept of what is an attack on a nation be changed? Do you know the damage that you can do to a nation electronically? So what qualifies, what's the threshold for an electronic attack on a nation? The fact that you just stole information, that's not an act of war? If you're constantly, if you attack the place that held that information, blew your way in there, shot and killed a guard, went inside of it, stole computers, or went into the vault and stole the secret documents and left. Is that an act of war? Would we tolerate that? But because it happens electronically, it's okay. Interfering with elections, that's okay. So I think it's kind of an interesting story. So what has been the level of American interference in election? We do it. We've done it all around the world. Staging coups and things like that, historically. So where does all that sit in the spectrum of conflict? It's an interesting subject. So we'll leave it at that. So on this Friday, have a great weekend. 4th of July coming up if you're traveling. By all means, leave early, drive slow, and have a good time. If you're just joining us, we'll check out the chef's going to join us here in a little bit. And we're going to talk about doing the 4th of July the right way so the chef gets the party. So have a great weekend. On a Friday, Almarine Radio, over and out.